afternoon. It's Good Friday. It's April 3rd. This is Mike Vandervoort co-hosting, or the co-host on Drive Through HR today. And we have a special guest who took time out from a busy day in a holiday, upcoming holiday weekend, to visit us, which is John Kelly. But before I introduce John, let me just wish all the listeners for Drive Through HR a great Good Friday and a happy Easter. Enjoy the weekend. It's always nice to have a holiday, especially when it's spring. Sun's out here in Georgia, and it's a good day. John, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming on. How are you today?
I'm great, Mike. Thanks. It's great to be here.
Thanks.
Nice
we really
spring
appreciate
and
it.
Nice Good Friday.
Yeah, you're in Columbus, Ohio, correct?
I'm in Columbus, Ohio. Yes.
Yeah. Why don't you? Go ahead, John.
I was just going to say White Castle's been headquartered here since 1934. So
wow,
proud residents of Columbus.
John, tell people you're the chief people officer at White Castle, but why don't you go ahead and tell everybody your quick bio, and tell us about yourself.
Okay, my title is chief people officer. I've been at White Castle for 23 years, so I've got all the organizational development, including benefits, HR, employee relations, training, compensation, all that good stuff. I really like doing. My great-grandfather started the company almost 95 years ago, so it's a family-owned company, and it's a lot of fun.
All right, John, is White Castle, is it privately held? It's not publicly traded company, is it?
Correct. We're privately held. We have 400 restaurants, and all of them are company-owned.
Okay, great.
So we're privately held by the founding.
Little different model than a lot of the other fast food restaurants where many of the operations are franchised, right?
That is correct. My great grandfather decided back in the 60s that in order to maintain our customer service and what he felt and what our family has felt since then, the integrity of our business model, we were going to remain family-owned and company-owned.
Great. John, we have some scripted questions on drive-thru, but a lot of times I just, especially when there's an interesting story. I mean, I, as you know, I've shared with you before when we've been at events together. I grew up in Detroit, and there were White Castles all over the place, and I fondly remember what, a lot of people refer to as sliders and, great high school food for kids running around, and I think more than just that. But that was my take on White Castle, but I'm always really interested. So, like, you said your great grandfather, right? Family owned business. What's different, do you think, for you than somebody else who's working at a like myself that worked at Publix, which was also a family owned business for a long time? But what's different for you being part of the legacy of the founder and all that? How does that affect you in your role in your job?
It is interesting. I get to work with a lot of my family. So my brother-in-law, two of my sisters, my mother's on the board, my cousins have a variety of different roles. But all of us are really dedicated towards really trying to make the atmosphere at the company and the culture of the company that one of a family. We try and a lot of companies say it, but we really do actively work to have a family culture and include all of our team members in that. It extends. A lot of times we'll have our average, just to get into a little bit of it, our average general manager has about 18 years of service with our company. And oftentimes they will have parents that worked for us or their children will work for us. So that family atmosphere does extend beyond my immediate family, but into the families of our team members.
But it's part of your culture. Did your great grandfather? I mean, do you guys still adhere to some of the principles? It sounds like you do. Did he lay out a set of principles that you still follow, or is it just part of the culture because it's a family owned business that's just kind of carried forward as the legacy?
I would say it's a little bit of both. We have recently, when I say recently, within the last 10 or so years, really tried to define the values of the company. I think they're largely based. We've got a lot of things that my grandfather, great-grandfather and grandfather wrote about, and we've got some of their, we know what some of their beliefs were. Especially a lot of that was transferred from my grandfather to my parents and then to us. We always try and keep it updated though, and recognizing that it's not, you know, we are a competitive business and a very exceptionally competitive environment and industry. So it takes on different forms in different parts of our history. But there are still a lot of legacy things that he started that we still have.
Yeah, but you also have to adjust for current times and for the future as well, right? One of the things that's always interesting
exactly.
to me is like when I worked in retail at Publix, there were a lot of opportunities and career things going on. You know, a lot of stuff behind the scenes. You know, so when you think of a White Castle, it's pulling in and you know, going through the drive thru or walking inside and sitting down and eating some hamburgers and a Coke, right? But there's a lot more to your company than that, right? You have sort of your manufacturing and other sorts of or processing. Quite a back of the house stuff outside the restaurants for people in terms of career opportunities and recruiting as well, right?
Yes, we actually being so early in our industry, we had a lot of vertical integration in the 1930s and 40s, and we still have two large industrial bakeries that bake all of our own buns. For our restaurants, and you alluded to a little bit our grocery store sliders, our retail sliders. We have three plants that produce millions of those a year. And then we have our three meat plants where we grind our own meat and, you know, produce the small patty with five holes in it. So there's about, of our 10,000 team members, about 1,000 to 1,500 are involved in something other than what most people would know us for.
Yeah, and I assume you also have, you know, corporate and IT and all that, you know, other stuff like that. But it's just many companies like that where everybody sees them as just a fast food place out front. Many more of them, as you said, are vertically integrated and have a lot more complex operations behind them that many people, you know, kind of take for granted or aren't aware of. And I always found that very interesting. Listen, John, let's move into. Thanks for that. I appreciate that. These are interesting times, I guess, in the restaurant industry, right? I mean, there's a lot going on, as you said, very competitive, lot of issues, spread throughout the news these days for a lot of different companies. I'm not going to really get into a huge discussion about all that, but one of the questions we always ask our guests here on Drive Through HR is given how competitive and the margins and everything, what is it that keeps you as the chief people officer of White Castle? What keeps you up at night these days?
I would say the leading thing recently that's been kind of keeping me up is as the economy is starting to, you know, slowly but definitely turning around, is keeping a good solid supply of team members, honestly, in our restaurants. We're blessed now through a variety of things that we've worked on through the last couple of years. Rather low turnover in our part of the industry, especially in the QSR segment. We're at about 80 to 90% turnover, which for some people that's huge, but in the general industry, I think the last number I saw was like 120%.
Yeah, so 80 or 90 sounds really good. That's 100, right?
Exactly, right. At one point, though, and I said this in a... on a panel last week when I was in a restaurant conference, back in the late 90s or mid to late 90s, we were at 300% turnover.
Wow.
And the rest of the, we were at the other end of that where the industry was, you know, up at around 150. And this is during those, some of those great times during the 90s. But so we did a lot of stuff to help turn that around. But still at times, you know, it's, having a good solid supply of stream of team members that come in for lack of any other way to say, drink the Kool-Aid and understand what we're trying to do by creating memorable moments for our cravers. It's one of those things. And again, I think it's now we're heading into summer, our busy time, and when we're going to start expanding our payroll a little bit. So just that, I think.
Just the same as, not the same as everyone else, but a kind of a classic HR problem: retention of your good employees, right? So what are some of the things you do at White Castle?
Picking the right
ones. What are some of the things you do at White Castle to help with that?
Some of the things that we've really been concentrating on over the last couple of years specifically are, there's really no silver bullets. It really is convincing our general managers that they represent the company to our team members. We do everything we can to listen to them. We do an extensive survey to hear from our team members, so an engagement and communication survey to try and figure out what they're feeling and what their needs are. I'm always trying to modify our and look at our benefits, making sure that we're addressing the needs of our team members, and look for new pools, and when we new pools of potential team members, and when we do, do a really, really good solid interview with them. One of the books that we shared several years ago was My Secret Life on the McJob, which was a college professor who took a sabbatical and went out and worked, and we use that as a model to try and figure out the best interviews and the best jobs he had were by general managers, I think he said at Wendy's, that managed to become part of their staff. And that's what we really try and talk to our general managers about. You don't want people in here. You want people who understand they're joining your staff and your restaurant, serving your guests. Let's make sure you're picking the right people. It's a privilege to join us.
Yeah. Let's just for a second, John, like what's an average White Castle? Like what are the demographics? I mean, not age, but like how many employees, you know, some of them, are they all 24 hours? You just walk us through what that looks like real quick.
Yeah. The average White Castle is going to be a 24-hour business. It's going to have 20 to 30 team members. About half of those team members are going to be part-time. Half are going to be full-time. It's going to have a general manager. It's going to do about $1.4 million a year in sales. That'll just probably generally have an assistant GM and a couple crew managers. I think that's it.
It's a good size standard. If it was a small business, a standalone business, it would be a good size spot, and you have 400 of those, so very complex. Plus all the other stuff that you were discussing. So there's been a couple things that have happened, John. Over the last few weeks, a number of retailers have announced, that they're going to raise wages up to different higher level, and jobs reports seem to be going. The last job report was really good, and as you said, the economy is sort of slowly resurrecting itself, and today's job report now kind of took a step back, but those numbers seem sometimes from month to month seem to be really unreliable. Are you, and as you said, you're going to start expanding, are you guys, what do you guys do? And I'm not asking if you're going to give raises, that's not my point, but that's all part of what you were talking about a minute ago, right? Are you starting to feel pressure, though, from your talent retention, from some of these economic adjustments that seem to be kind of rolling through our economy right now?
Yes, actually. We've been talking about those with our finance, accounting, operations, and my compensation group we've been looking at that. And I find it interesting that they're all talking about it, given a lot of the other stuff that's going on politically and socially around those. We are starting. We've got some pockets where we may start at minimum wage, but within the first 3 to 6 months, we've got everybody up above that by a fair amount, and we are, I think, seeing pressure. And I was trying to remember back in the 90s when it was, again, unemployment was around, was below what what I learned was structural unemployment,
right?
2.5% and things like that, where there was just the general market pressure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm starting to feel a little bit of that when we're talking with our general managers and when I'm visiting with them out in our castles. You're seeing more now hiring signs going up. You're seeing a little bit more competition, which I think generally is the market working. And when, you know, the market works the way it's supposed to, wages are going to, you know, they're going to start rising.
They're going to start going up.
You know,
employers have to pay a little
wage
more.
Camp.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
you're going to get the quality that you want and the team members that you want.
So I know I'm asking, you know, I'm not asking you the broad questions. One last question about from that, what keeps you up at night category there. So your headquarters and your family, you said the business started in Columbus. You have 400 restaurants. What geographical area are you? Largely Midwestern based, or are you more diverse than that?
We are largely Midwestern based. So we've got New York and New Jersey, Detroit, Michigan, Chicago, over to Minneapolis, St. Louis, Indianapolis, down to Louisville, Nashville. We're in basically most of the major markets, except I would say Pittsburgh. For whatever reason, we never went into Pittsburgh, in that kind of general area right there in the Midwest.
Okay. Yeah. It seems the restaurant industry, you know, above many others that I follow anyway, always acquisitions and, you know, that kind of thing. Any plans for expansion, or are you guys, do you kind of have a philosophy of doing that sort of small steps, given that you're a family business? And
We definitely take a long-term view of things. That's one of the values we see in being a family-owned business.
Mm-hmm.
We're always looking to expand in different ways. One of the more recent ways we've tried and not necessarily been, we learned a lot from it. We were trying to do some things with some additional brands. So we had a barbecue brand that had a two restaurants that we co-branded and an Americanized Italian and Asian noodle brand that we were experimenting a little bit with. Which was fun for a lot of our corporate and our operations team members, because we got to experiment with a lot of different kinds of food, and training department created, you know, two or three operations manuals to get all that stuff done. So it was fun and engaging for them. They didn't work out as well as we had hoped, but we learned from them. So what we're concentrating on now is replacing some of our legacy buildings and looking at potential growth opportunities. One of the big ones we've got now that's been around are we got two Cravemobiles, two food trucks that make stops in a variety of different places. We just had one out in San Diego, and it's been out to Vegas a couple times, and down in Florida and Orlando a couple weeks ago. So that's been a lot of fun to experiment that way.
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, you mentioned the long-term view, privately held companies, right, versus like, you know, private equity companies versus publicly traded companies. That sort of situation can really have a big determination on how you run your business day to day and the kind of decisions that you make. And I find, I mean, I'm not really, I guess it's more of an observation than a question, but it's fascinating. And my experience over the last, I don't know, 15 years, is that the privately held family-owned businesses seem to generate a lot more consistent profitability and a lot less up and down risk than many of either of the other two that I cited, because they are in it for the long haul as opposed to quarterly announcements and or trying to max out an investment. So it can make that simple thing can make a huge difference in the way your business is run, and then it rolls down in through our part of the business, the HR department. That sort of rolls down through into the employee workforce as well, because they know in your case, they've known your family for years and they know how you're going to act and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's very interesting. So let's jump to the second round. Let me do a quick reset. We actually talked through the mid break here that we usually do. This is Mike Vandervoort. I'm hosting Drive Through HR today. It's Good Friday, April 3rd, 2015, and our guest is the Chief People Officer and Vice President of Human Resources for White Castle Restaurants, John Kelly. John I've known for a few years and is a very, very well-regarded in the restaurant industry, and we're glad to have you here, John. The second question of our kind of our three-part show script is a little different than what keeps you up at night, which is what's top of mind for you these days? What are you and your company and your managers worrying about or thinking about a lot right now? You may have touched on some of it, but...
Yeah, we had touched on a little bit of it. Some of it was around the wage pressures and some of those kind of things. But the big one that I would say to answer that I've been working on with my boss, our president, is making sure that we're on top of development, especially around leadership. We've had part of our culture is a very strong promote from within. A vast majority of our general managers started with us behind the counter. A few have been hired in at a management level, but even here in the home office, a lot have been promoted to their current roles, our directors and others. So we want to make sure that we're staying on top of and offering that leadership group the opportunity to grow and develop. I think I mentioned earlier our president is my cousin, so we are very aligned on personal growth for ourselves and try and model the way with that and bringing everybody else along with us and trying to figure out what are the best ways to get new thinking into White Castle without having the way a lot of other companies might do it, and that's to, hire in somebody new. So we're trying to figure that mix out.
Okay. Has ACA had a big impact on you guys? Have you got that figured out? I know that's a thing that, in different industries and different companies have struggled with.
Yeah. So the Affordable Care Act was a little bit disruptive at first. We've had instances of paying employees health care going clear back to 1924. So we've kind of offered some kind of health care for a majority of our, specifically part full-time, but we're about 50% full-time. So a significant number of team members. We've been self-insured. What we actually did was we shifted our health care benefits over to Aon's Exchange in the second year of that. And it's actually, we had some growing pains with it. More from an internal standpoint because as self-insured in the past, tying back with what we were talking about in the very beginning about that family atmosphere,
right?
And that culture that we have. When somebody calls up and says, "Oh, I know I was supposed to register my new baby, and with the first 30 days, and I've missed it," and there's usually some kind of strings that can be pulled when we're self-insured. Now that we're fully insured and we're on the exchange with Aon, the carriers are covering that, and they're not as open to that. So it's
not as lenient.
That's been, I would say, one of the biggest changes. Yeah, it's business and what it is. So we're concentrating on some of the things, but it's not been huge. We're still fighting for we had always offered healthcare at 35 hours. Given the nature of a majority of our team members and the hourly work, we still like it to be that. We have shifted, and I think we allow our full time team members at 30 hours to get health care, and then some of the other benefits we offer are still at 35. So, not been as disruptive as it thought as we first thought, but.
Great. Well, it's weird because that whole thing came along, and I was at a stage in my career where other people dealt with that. I was concerned about it. When I was working inside, we were concerned about it from a labor relations standpoint, but we didn't have to go. I didn't have to personally go through all the angst that a lot of other HR professionals had to go through about learning all the ins and outs of the law and developing all the the formulas and everything. So I was actually kind of grateful for that for once. But I do know it's been a huge, huge issue for many companies. So it sounds like you guys figured it out pretty well. So that's great. Listen, John, we're down to the last 5 minutes. So why don't you you go to a lot of I don't want to say that way. Let's say I know that the restaurant industry spends a lot of time with managers meeting and you know, externally. There's a lot of NRA activities and other kinds of group things that you guys go to where you do a lot of benchmarking and best practices sharing. And it seems to me from my sort of on the periphery view of that there's a lot more of that in your industry than there is in some others. And it may just be that I wasn't exposed to it. But you go to a lot of different things. There seems to be a great deal of investment in training and development of managers in the restaurant industry. So I was just wondering if you could kind of – sorry, I'm choking up here. I was just wondering if you could kind of talk about that for not the conferences per se, but the training and development aspects of how you guys do it at White Castle and sort of how it works throughout the industry, because I found it to be much deeper in scope than I ever would have thought for, you know, what the public perception of the fast food industry is sometimes.
Yeah, I think many of the people, especially the ones that are in things like, we have a great industry partner called People Report, and a lot of times we will go to and you hear a lot of great developmental opportunities. I know we are, and some of my colleagues in the industry are big on making sure that we share that information. Never having worked, I actually worked as a teacher for a year before I started at White Castle, so I've never worked in another retail environment. But I know, you know, like you said earlier, our little one of our little restaurants is, $1.4 million, a business in and of itself. And it's dealing with a lot of people. And, you know, we have to make sure that those general managers recognize that. And so there's pieces of their job that are leadership. They've got to be developing other people. They're doing HR because they're doing a lot of, you know, they're doing the hiring and firing for that store. They have to have a basic level of understanding of where to send their team members when they need benefits information. They're doing scheduling. They're doing inventory. They're doing a lot of different things that I would imagine that, you know, a retail manager or general manager at a in other parts of retail are doing, but it's done in a small microcosm. So we do a lot to make sure, several different kinds of training a year, especially at different levels, for our general managers. And I think a lot of it for us starts there, because we look at and say to the cravers that come into that restaurant, the customers, the team members that work there, the team members that want to work there, they are the company. You know, everybody intrinsically knows that there's, you know, HR people and accountants in an office somewhere, but the day-to-day is your general manager. And
They're the face of the company, right?
It's one of the hardest jobs. Yeah, they're the face of the company to a lot of people.
Yeah, no doubt. So, John, we're down inside the last 90 seconds. I told you this half an hour would fly by. It's been great to chat with you. Why don't you tell people what's up next for John Kelly, anything, if there's anything cool going on, and where they could find you on the social media, and then we'll wrap up and get out of here and go enjoy the Easter weekend.
Yeah, sure. Big things for me, the next one, we've got I'm on a panel representing culture at the National Restaurant Association show in May. So I'm looking forward to that with some of my colleagues. I think Jim Knight, who's a great speaker and author, is going to be part of that panel, as well as some other people that I'm friends with. So that's kind of probably the next business thing. I'm trying to do more personal travel to have some fun and relax. So I'm going to be planning some of that for the summer. And then anything, I'm available on Twitter. My handle is JFKIII. Same thing on Instagram and on Facebook. It's John Kelly, and there's a lot of association with White Castle on there, so you know you find the right John Kelly.
Awesome. We're down to the last 5 seconds, John. Thanks for coming on. Have a great weekend, and we're going to head out to some Farrell. See ya.
All right, thanks. Bye.